God bless you, church. Okay. Pastor, I want to ask you a question, please. In my church where I worship in Enugu, an end time church, the pastor preaches seriously against television. What I want to ask from you is, I want you to clarify the issue of television as revealed to Bro Abraham. Thank you.
Now, listen. That's a serious, another serious argument within the entire message circle. Listen very well. I say we must balance things. Listen very well. I thank God for my life. I thank God. You know why I'm laughing? I am standing before the whole world to ask me questions. So I know whatever I say will be used against me as either a false preacher or a true preacher. But God will help me. What I am preaching is not a repetition of what I saw anywhere. It's a revelation I have. And I'm not a follow. Amen. Listen, church. William Branham, he told us, told the church, I read it in several places. He said, the angel of God told him not to keep the television. The invention of the television was an avenue Satan used to spread all the nonsense immoralities around the world. No preacher of righteousness will be comfortable with any medium that spreads immorality. Television was one of them. And he said that the television was the devil's box. And he got so angry when, during Bible study, believers, members of his church, some will not come to church on Wednesday evening because they are watching a soap opera that evening on the television. So they will not come to church. He got angry. No wonder the angel of the Lord said he should not keep the television. Now watch it. The same man that God told him not to keep the television, I have another quote. Amen. Where he went somewhere and rented a house. And remember, the houses are normally fully furnished. And in that house was a television. And early in the morning on a Sunday morning, he was making a comment that he came out and he was looking at the television in the house. And he called his children to see one Pentecostal church that was showing their choir and how they dress. He called his children and said, they should come and let them come and see what these people are showing on the. And they are trying to say these are Christians. When I read that, I said, William Branham, they watch television for house where he rents. Okay? Question and answer time like this, somebody stood up to ask, William Branham, did you say the television is evil? You know that quote. You have read it. Every entertainment believer is. Then he answered him. He said, yes, if television is evil, newspaper is evil, radio is evil. He said, it is not the box, but the programs. And he said, if only there can be some television station, some television program that can show Christian programs, he will not have problem with it. So, it is the program he was talking about. Now, watch it. There are a lot of us that follow, you know, our Christian faith is not based on revelation, but just on some creeds and dogmas. So, because of it, even when you know what you are following has no meaning, and at time we prove that what you are holding is wrong, you will still not drop it. Mostly out of pride. Let me tell you. Now, the same people that are preaching against keeping television, One of them is in Kano. As far back as the year 2001, I had to meet him and I wrote and I told him. He was a senior bank manager in Kano. And he is a rocket believer of the entire message. If you keep television, you are going to hell. And one of his disciples was my pastor. He pastored me for 5 years. I was sitting there in a church that only two of us had television. Anytime the pastor preached, that television box is of the devil. At the back, I will bring out my paper. I was not a minister there. I will write a piece of paper, give it to the coordinator, take it to him at the pulpit. I will say, sir, you have still not convinced me. I will keep my television. Praise the Lord. Because you have to convince me. Me, by my nature, I don't watch film. Because I am a practical person, I'm a realist. When I see a person jump from one roof to another one, I said a lie. Which country is this? That's all the countries. Praise the Lord. So I'm a very practical person. So I have never watched any film from beginning to the end. In fact, all of us, and they follow my friends in those days, we go to cinema. When we reach once, I don't sleep off. Then they wake me, someone could go. Now, tell me what is evil in hearing news. I don't miss any news hour. International, local, I don't miss it. I like to be current. Now you are telling me I should not watch news. Ha! Tell me it is sin to watch news. So I refuse. Now the same man in Kano had one of the biggest business centers with internet. So I wrote him. Internet and television, which one is more evil? Internet and television, which one is more evil? So, you are only following a creed and a dogma. You are following a commandment without understanding what the man was saying. If not, anybody that cannot keep television, you must not have internet. No email address. No WhatsApp. No Facebook. Nothing, because it is internet. All over the world, television is controlled. All over the world, there are things you cannot show on television. They are controlled everywhere, but internet, you can't control it. So, you were following that, not from a revelation. If it's a revelation, then they should keep away their TV. Now, we always say now, tell me, with a station like Bright Television, tell me what is wrong with having a 24-hour intermittent television station, having it in your room. What is wrong with it? Praise the Lord. Amen. If not for the television, so many people will not see the message now. So you have to understand that. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you, sir.
Yes.
We are discussing how Cain came up as a son of the serpent, and how the Satan anointed serpent to do what he did with Eve. So this man now asked me whether I believe that Satan became Satan after rebelling against God. I say yes, I believe. He said whether I believe God created him an angel. I say yes, I believe, before his fall. He said now, when he rebelled against God, who anointed him? Who was behind, the idea of being a rebellion against God? Since he was behind, he anointed serpent to do what he did.
Sorry. That is, who made serpent? Who made Satan to be rebellious?
Yes, since he was created as an angel, having the nature, angelic nature, but suddenly he rebelled against God and became Satan. Who was behind the act, since he had a nature of angel?
Listen, church, praise the Lord. Are we alive? If you are alive, can I see your hand? Let me know how many people I'm talking to. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Listen. Listen. What God is doing with us is what he has done with all his creations. I hope you know that this earth here, as far as the history of man is concerned, we're just about 6,000 years, man. But this earth has been in existence for millions of years. I hope you know that. So God has used this earth to test his creature. What he uses to test us is he gives you free will. He shows you what is good and shows you what is bad and gives you the will to choose which one. If you choose this one, this is the effect. If you choose this one, this is the effect. He leaves it for tests to give you reason to know why you will be judged. So when you say, who put iniquity in him? The Bible says that, talk about his beauty. Is it Isaiah 14 or so? Praise the Lord. Until iniquity was found in him. Where did iniquity come from? It came from his decision to take the other side of his will. To apply his will negatively. When he began to think of occupying the same position as God. That is the iniquity. And it is with all of us. That's why in the Garden of Eden, when man came, he also planted two trees there. Eat of this, you have life. Eat of this, you die. And left us to choose which one we want to choose. The same thing he did with the angels, and the same thing he's doing with us. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Sir, my question is, I have gone to many pastors to ask this question.
You are here with another pastor.
Yeah. I want you to give me the correct answer. The question goes on like this. Is it possible for someone that is not even a minister or not a choir to be seeing Jesus Christ?
Now, you went to so many pastors. Can you tell me some of the answers those pastors gave you?
They told me that you have a gift, and maybe you are passing through an occultic man, something like that. And I'm not comfortable with the answer, so I now moved to this church because of that particular reason. And when I came here, I joined a group, and it became worse. Even after praying like this, I would just seem as if I'm seeing him on my front. I'm not anything.
See who?
Jesus Christ.
You say, what's your question? Is it possible for?
For someone that is not a pastor or a minister to see Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 11 verse 28. You know that scripture? The scripture says, come, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When he said, come, when you come, finish, you don't go see him. You don't go see the person who call you.
You will see.
Eh?
Yeah.
Now, that call, is it only for pastors?
No.
It's for everybody.
Yes.
So, I'm giving you your answer. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I hope this one correct now. I hope you're okay now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I pass.
Good morning, sir. Shalom, church. Amen. Sir, I have six questions. The first one is about the scripture, Exodus 4, verse 20 to 26. We talked about after God finished with Moses, and asked them to go back to Egypt. In that same scripture, 24 says, and it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. It's still a mystery to me. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it on his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then he said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord, that's the very part I want.
What's your question?
I want to know God, how God sent him on an errand. I wanted to kill him at the same time.
Listen, praise the Lord. Listen, when God meant to kill you, he doesn't have to give you notice. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
The fact that he let his wife to see the angel that wanted to kill him, it means God, who wanted to kill him, raised the wife to stop him from killing Moses. That's the mystery. Now, Moses is a descendant of Abraham. And every descendant of Abraham should know that you must circumcise every member of your family. Amen. That is a common law. As common as that. Now, I want to use you. And you are going to deliver a whole nation. And this small ordinance here, you cannot keep it. God was angry with him. And all God wanted to do was to ensure that his son came under the covenant of Abraham. So that when he goes there, he will meet with other Jews in Egypt, and they all come under the same covenant. That's all God wanted to achieve there. Thank you,
sir. But, well, okay, sir. Try to convince somebody about Trinity, that there's no Trinity. So the person was like, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I doubted it. It led to a huge argument. Now, the question here is, if that is not so, then Jesus, when he was on earth...
What is not so?
If there's no God the Father, God the Son, God the
Holy
Spirit.
Is that what I believe?
It's not what you believe, sir.
Eh?
It is not what you believe.
So why do you want to ask me?
You believe there's no Trinity.
Eh? Okay, I believe there is no Trinity.
Yes, sir.
What do you believe? That there's Trinity.
I first of all believe there was no Trinity, but because of the question coming up, I wanted to know because it's amazing and to me it's
okay.
Like,
so what is the question you have that proves there is Trinity?
One, if Jesus on earth was praying, who was he praying to? I guess it was the Father.
Yes.
Then two, when he was on earth, who was in heaven taking control?
Yes.
Then three, he said in John 14:13.
Let me answer them one by one. What's the first one?
The first one was, when he was on earth, who was he praying to?
Yes. So, who is his Father?
God.
Eh?
God the Father.
Which scripture says so? Which scripture says so?
Actually, no.
If you want to see every Bible question, there is Bible answer. Okay, there's a call coming. Let's hang here. Oh, yes, hello.
Okay, I am calling from Spain. My name is Joy.
Joy from Spain. Can we hear you?
Yes. My question is this. According to, I went to a church. So the mom of God was preaching concerning. No, I have a question concerning trouser. So the man of God said, it's not this trouser that we are putting on. So it's like he wants to divert the message. He said it's a different color of clothes. That is what God is talking about. It's not the trouser that woman is putting on.
Praise God.
The second question is that, he said anointing oil. He said this anointing oil we are using is not... Yeah, Bible did not recognize it. He said, granite oil. He said the really only anointing oil is from Jerusalem or Israel.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. As much as possible, we should not bother ourselves with arguments that does not increase our spirituality, that does not make us to be better Christians. Sister Joy, when God created a man and a woman, he has to clothe them. When he was going to clothe them, certainly he will put into account their physique in designing their cloth. And we are supposed to have our identities, that even the clothes we put on will show whether we are male or female. So when God says in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, that it's abomination for a man to put that which pertains to a woman, for a woman to put that which pertains to a man, that law still stands. It is fashion that is making women wear trousers. Trousers belong to the man. Praise the Lord. The day you want to know why a woman should not wear trousers, for instance, let me give you an example. When you are in a public place and